Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Hour number three rolling along on a throwback Thursday and a busy, busy weekend. Good games in the National Football League. Very important games in college football. And, of course, we're in the divisional round of the baseball playoffs. Best of five, so it's starting to get tricky. Tonight, two games in the American League, both game twos. The Yankees are at home taking on the Cleveland Guardians. Shane Bieber getting the start for Cleveland. But the Yankees starting Nestor Cortez, one of their better pitchers this season. As Aaron Boone went with Garrett Cole in game one, Nestor Cortez in game two. And that might have been the right move. I mean, Cole has struggled in the postseason, and Cortez could have given you that nice first game bump that you kind of want in a best of five series, but going with Cole and getting the kind of outing that they did allows them to go with Cortez in game two to really sort of try at least to take control of this series and move on to the ALCS. The Astros had some trouble with Seattle, but they erased it with a three-run home run in the bottom of the ninth inning from Yordan Alvarez. It was one of the more electric moments in baseball playoffs in a very, very long time. We're talking about that yesterday, the fact that it was a two-out walk-off home run, and we don't see that in the baseball playoffs at all. I mean, in fact, Kurt Gibson was the last one who did a two-out walk-off home run. But it was really sort of epitomizes the emotion of Major League Baseball in the playoffs, where you can go from complete despair and wondering, oh God, is this going to get away from us? And where is this series going to go if we lose game one, to leaving the stadium in complete euphoria because one swing of the bat. Seattle had a day to process that. I mean, we're all kind of human, and how you going to go about a defeat like that. It is a devastating loss, especially in a five-game series. They've had one day to process it, to move on. If they played the next day, I would have been a little nervous for them in this series. But they got a great pitcher in Luis Castillo on the bump tonight. Framber Valdez has been very good for Houston. This should be a pretty good game as well. But the divisional series rolling along. NFL, obviously there's Buffalo and there's Kansas City. And obviously there is Dallas going up against the Philadelphia Eagles. But the New York Giants at 4-1 have a very good opponent in the Baltimore Ravens coming up this weekend. This is where we can really start seeing some identities form from teams that are surprising us, like the New York Giants, and even like the New York Jets, who go to Lambeau Field to take on a Packers team. It's just not putting up a lot of points on the board. It's Tony D. Ron Culver. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. And glad you could be with us on Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
This is the Sports Map Radio Network, presented by this Saturday's must-see Night of Fights, headlined by boxing superstar Deontay Wilder taking on the Nordic Nightmare Robert Helenius, plus a super middleweight clash between Caleb Sweethands Plant and Anthony the Dog Durrell. Don't miss out on all the hard-hitting action Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, live on Fox Sports PVC pay-per-view. Order today.
She was a long, cool woman in a black dress, but the fine, now beautiful talk. Well, just one look, I was a bad mess, 'cause that long, cool woman had it all.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I love these throwback Thursdays that we do, where we go back to like the 60s or 70s, 1972 on our throwback Thursday today, because I feel like it's like a Time Life commercial. Do you know what I mean? Like, I would expect this if we had a YouTube channel. You would just see a scroll of like hits from 1972.
Yep. And one of them, and the one that's off color.
Right.
Like they all could be white, and then the yellow one's the song that you're hearing.
There's the song that you're hearing. And like Barry Williams from the Brady Bunch is like, wasn't it groovy in the 1960s and 70s? Would you like to recapture all of those hits? We've got the complete collection of the music that was really fun to dance to and groove to, just like you did when you were a kid. Throwback Thursday on Sports Map Radio has collected the best hits of 1972. Or Casey Kasem, It's Long Cool Woman, coming up. That's great. I love it when we do that. Like, we always, sometimes we do ones from like 2010 and 2011 because they're big moments. But sometimes we go back 50 years. And that's what we do.
I always try not to, when I look for a Throwback Thursday story,
Right.
I try not to do 2000 and beyond for two reasons. One is, you know, because I feel like it's too recent, unless it was something like, oh my God, I can't believe that was, you know, it's been that long already. But the other reason, and it's completely selfish, is because the music is,
I gotcha.
I'm not saying it's terrible, but there's work involved with music post 2000.
Exactly.
Because a lot of the times I got to go in and clean it up.
Yep.
Exactly. And I don't want to clean it up. I can trust that anything that was played on the radio in the 90s was fair game. And 80s and 70s, you know, I don't have to worry about a certain word popping up somewhere.
Good point. Good point. I was talking earlier about that Redeem Team documentary on Netflix. I was talking about Mike Krzyzewski, how he's putting this together. You know, this is, I said earlier, listen, I think Mike Krzyzewski's on the upper pantheon of college coaches and basketball minds. There's no doubt about that. Most people do. But it's amazing when somebody who's at that level can impress you even more. It's like Tom Brady, for example. Like, we all saw Brady lead these Patriots Super Bowls and these Patriots Super Bowls. But there was that moment at the end of Super Bowl 55 where I was like, he did it again. He did it with another team in his first year. Like, there, like, you continue to just be amazed at what people do. Now, how do coaches do that, right? Like, how many – Mike Krzyzewski's, when he was a college basketball coach, now he's off in retirement – how would he continue to impress you? He brings in talent. He coaches that talent. The tournament's a quirky thing. He just keeps doing it. But the way what he did with that dream team, that redeem team, if you will, of 2008 for the Olympics, was he did one thing that I think a lot of coaches wouldn't have done. And this is I think was the key. When you get a collection of NBA talent like that, right? What would be the natural instinct of a coach that would have that group, right? They would be like, no egos. Check your egos at the door. We are one team. I don't care what you did with the Cavaliers, LeBron, and Kobe, you're amazing, but we're on Team USA. Leave your egos outside. Mike Krzyzewski did the opposite. And he said, I want all of the ego that you have, but I want to redirect it to this. So everything that you believe about yourself, everything that you believe about your accomplishments, everything that you believe about your talent, I want you to bring it in this room, but redirect it to this idea that together we're going to win the gold medal. And the way he did it was so brilliant. He got to players individually on the thing that they were really good at and like that what they were specializing in. And he didn't draw any sort of, he didn't try to draw conflict within guys of similar talent. He managed those guys very, very well to a point where they respected him so much. I mean, a lot of these guys never played college. You know, they went right to the pros or, of course, didn't play for him. But it was the way he just was willing to say, you guys are the best basketball players in the world. Why would I ask you to be anything other than that? And let's go do this. And one of the things that he did, which I thought was also brilliant, is I mentioned in sort of the description, Doug Collins was on the 72 team. And Doug Collins was on an Olympic team that beat the Soviet Union. And they had a game stolen from them because the buzzer sounded. But then there was a representative came down and told the officials to put more time on the clock and allow the Soviet Union to inbound the pass after Doug Collins had made the free throw, and the United States had stopped them on the ensuing inbound pass. He let them do it again. When that also failed, there was something else wrong. He let them do it again, and that led to the bucket that won the Soviet Union the gold medal. And it was real robbery. If you ever do a deep dive into the 72 Olympic Games, it was real, real robbery. And I love the fact that the players on that team to this day do not accept. They get asked about it, but they never will take the silver medal. They put it in their wills. Their family members can never take the silver medal from the 72 games. He had Doug Collins, who's a broadcaster and was going to be a broadcaster at the Olympics with Mike Breen and for NBC, had him come in and tell the story of that to the players. And look, LeBron James was like, I never knew that happened. And a lot of other players were like, I didn't know that that happened. And the pain and that Collins still feels to this day, like, it still bothers me that I don't have a gold medal because my one chance of being in the Olympics as an amateur was taken away from me because of this ruling. And the players they dedicated themselves for that and for the United States. It was really, really remarkable. It's a pretty good documentary. But I just thought I'd throw that out there since, Mike Krzyzewski is now retired. And I thought, even in retirement, there was something else that sort of impressed me. Devontae Adams is going to be facing some charges of assault in Kansas City for this.
This thing is getting ridiculous.
It's getting kind of ridiculous here. I said this yesterday. There's an angle to the video of him shoving that photographer that I think was made me more sympathetic to Devontae Adams than the first one. The first one looked terrible. The first one looked like the photographer is just kind of crossing over. Devontae Adams is walking. He doesn't like that the fact that the guy's in his way and just shoves him down and walks off. If that's the only angle that we had from that video, I'd be hard pressed to be convinced it was anything other than a vicious shove that should have never taken place. But the angle that they had of the guy just cutting right in front of Devontae Adams, where Adams actually sticks his hand out to sort of in sort of surprise that somebody stepped in front of him, and that led to a more extension of the arms, which led to a shove, was more sympathetic. But that being said, I've only got so much, because I think Devontae Adams, even in a moment of anger, even in a moment of complete frustration, they're 1-4, and 1-4 in the NFL, man, it's hard to come back from it. Even if you're talented, it's really hard to come back from it. He knows that. And he should have at least turned around and picked the guy up and apologized. And I think it would have been dead. But now he's facing charges of misdemeanor assault from this shove. But I'm with you, Ron. I don't.
Well, that's what I don't like. The photographer is claiming, I mean, you know, he suffered injuries.
Right.
You know, I mean, trauma. And I'm like, dude, you got pushed to the ground. Grow a pair.
Exactly.
I mean,
got whiplash.
This is nothing more than just a quick money guy. I guarantee if it was a Kansas City Chief that had done this, this guy's not pressing charges.
I just don't understand why this couldn't have been, like, does this have to be worked out? Can this be worked out in a better way?
Yeah.
Like, could this have been like Devontae Adams immediately realized his mistake? Devontae Adams could have reached out to the guy. The guy could have said, hey, man, you know, I'm sorry. I kind of ran into you. Devontae Adams might have given him the jersey or football or, I don't know, something. And then we'd be done with this. Charges?
I know.
He could face up to 6 months or a fine of 1,000. Right. Now, those things, when they bring those out, that's like the worst that could happen. So they always – it's one of the tools that they use to sort of scare people. Like when somebody goes, and he wrote a bad check and he could be facing 30 years in federal prison. Well, in likelihood, he's not going to do that.
Yeah, he's going like 2 years.
Yeah, he's maybe gone for like – yeah, exactly. But what they do is they want to make it sound like, hey, if you're thinking about this or doing this, this is what could happen to you. It's very unlikely that it will. He's not going to serve any jail time for this. Nothing. But
should Devontae fight this?
There's a part of me that's exactly right. There's a part of me that was like, all right, you know what? If we're going to play this game, let's play this game. Right? Let's find.
Because like, I mean, for Devontae, I mean, you know, he knows he's not going to see any jail time. $1,000 fine. I mean, might as well be $10.
Yeah, but remember that the court doesn't. They're not going to fine him based on his wealth, right? They'd fine me $1,000 if I shoved the guy and he got a whiplash and was sent. The NFL could fine him.
Oh no, that's different. I'm not talking about the NFL.
No, because if his conviction, his fine could be $1,000 in the court.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Right, the court has. It doesn't matter if you're a millionaire or you're making.
Yeah, it's $1,000 fine.
It's $1,000 fine, but the NFL could come down and go.
Well, I think they're going to fine him anyways, and there's been rumors that it's going to be like, six figures. And
it could be a lot of money, right? I know.
But I'm saying just in the court, not in the NFL. Forget the NFL. You know, his employer is going to do what his employer is going to do. I'm saying in the court system, if you knew that, hey, I'm going to get fined $1,000, but you're worth a couple million like Devontae is, wouldn't you just go, I'm going to go for it?
Why not?
Stop these frivolous things from happening because – dude, the guy, you got pushed to the ground. You pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and then get on with your life.
There are times where I've seen celebrities go, you know what? No. No. We'll see you in court.
Yeah.
You know what?
I mean, this guy, I mean,
nope, too bad.
Probably thinking Devontae's just going to settle out of court and they'll, you know, have a quiet, disclosed amount. But I mean, does this open the door like, you know, when sound guy is on the sidelines and he gets ran over by someone? Can that guy sue now?
Exactly. Well, I think it was Adam Carolla one time told a story about how he had a neighbor and the neighbor claimed that something in his property damaged something on his property. And Carolla went, no, that's not true. That's not that. Nuh-uh. That was. And the guy said, well, I'm a lawyer and, you know, I'll just take you to court over this. And Carolla went, you know what? I got the kind of money that, you know what, it would be easier to just pay this. But you know what? I'd rather spend $100,000 than give you $20,000. Like, and some athletes feel that way. It's like, you know what? No, screw it. I'd rather spend $35,000 in a quick court like this than pay the $1,000 fine, because the principle of it is, if you cut in front of me and I put my hands out and you fall down, no, we're not doing this song and dance forever. No, we're not doing that. And I think that second angle that showed up on social media the day after, I think is a big thing. Why? I think a lot of sympathy now is on Davante Adams because of that piece of video. But like I said, the first video, I was like, what was that? Like, it looked like he wanted to shove somebody and this photographer was just kind of there. The second video, the guy clearly cuts right in front of him, steps right in front of him. And the first thing Davante Adams does is put his hands out, and then he extends the hands. So I would have said no. I would have fought that completely. I might fight that completely. I would have said, you know what? I got money. I got the kind of money that I could say, you know what? It may cost me more, but it's the principle that matters.
And again, like I brought up before, for Davante, I mean, if he gets the full amount, $1,000 fine, he's going to write a check. And we're like, do you want that in hundreds? Why do you want that?
Well, that's in
Carolla, it hurts you and I, but to him, it's more like, whatever.
In Carolla's story, that's what he said. He goes, what people don't get is that sometimes people go, why don't you just write the check and make it go away? Because it's never going away. It's like a bully doesn't take your money today. The bully takes your money, so he then goes, I can get money from you forever. I can get money from you every day. So when you're in school and the bully wants your lunch money and you give him your lunch money, that bully now knows every day I can get this guy's lunch money. Every day. But if you stand up to the bully and he beats you to a pulp, but you never give him his lunch money, and then he beats you to a pulp, you're too much work. So he moves on to somebody else that he can get the lunch money from easier. And so Carolla's point was, the moment I give this guy a check for the damage he claimed my thing did, he's going to come to me every time, because he's going to say, he's got so much money, he can write a $20,000 check, I'll threaten to sue him, and he says it'll never end. It'll never end. It'll be a constant neighbor at my door saying, hey, you didn't do this, or hey, there's something wrong here, or hey, a tree fell here, and I want $50,000 or I'll sue you. He said, I nip it into the bud, and the guy never comes back at me again. And that's what Davante Adams should do, because if he goes to court with this and they go, you know what? No, that guy stepped in front of him, and that guy, while he knocked him down and didn't go back to say, you know, how are you, pick you up. No, you're not getting $100,000. You're not getting $500,000. No, that's not how this works. And it's a better message than if you go, what does he want? 50,000? All right. Because we always like to think, as we say all the time with these rich people, oh, they'll just, no, sometimes they just don't want to write you a check. They don't want to give it to you, right? I've worked for a billionaire once. I worked for a billionaire owner, a billionaire that didn't just write checks just because he could. And sometimes that's the way it is. Sometimes you go, no, the principle of it's important. All right, it's Tony D, Ron Culver, and it's Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this is Rock and Roll Part 2, Gary Glitter. Was this not the most popular song for a long time at arenas across the country? And then he got in trouble with the law, and then nobody plays it anymore.
Is that why? I was wondering why you never hear it anymore.
You don't hear it anymore. I think it was like a pedophile or something. I don't know what it was, but it was something serious enough that people went, we don't do this anymore.
Well, I mean, with a name like Gary Glitter, I could see that.
Yeah, so I'm not sure, but I know it was pretty bad. But this was a big deal. Like, this was at every place. Remember, it was at every place in the country.
Oh,
for a while.
God. Yeah.
How much he made off of this when it made its return to prominence, if you will. You know, it's like, what's her face? Kate Bush. She's making like $250,000 a month, thanks to Stranger Things. Of that song, running up that hill.
Yeah,
you know, all of a sudden.
I don't remember. I know I've said this all to a blue flags. I don't remember it.
Running up that hill. I only remember it because a girl I liked in high school liked Kate Bush a lot. That's the only reason I knew that song. This girl Danielle was a big Kate Bush fan, and I liked Danielle a lot. So therefore, I was knowledgeable that she liked Kate Bush.
You were a Kate Bush fan.
I wouldn't say I was a fan. I would say I just knew it enough to try to win her fancy.
Yeah.
At 14 years old or whatever it was. Whatever it was when that song, however old I was when that song came out. So I'm not sure. But, you know, when you're a kid, that's how you think it's supposed to be. Like, oh, if I like what she likes, maybe she'll like me.
See, really I remember the, you know, hearing part of the song, the burr, 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 yeah, or whatever. Right. I remember hearing that on the radio, but I don't ever remember hearing the whole song all the way through. It was almost as if, you know, my parents were like, eh, no, I don't want this one.
I've had to say this a few times. I don't think it was a huge hit. If it was, I completely missed it. But yeah. I don't think, like, it wasn't like Madonna songs or Duran Duran
no,
songs.
No, she was nowhere near that level.
She was nowhere near the level of talent, of not talent, she had talent, but artists of that particular era. Like, in 1985, when I think of 1985, and that's when that song came out, my first thought is the group of people that were at We Are the World, right? Like, the people that showed up and did We Are the World,
right,
and a little bit of the Band-Aid song, the Christmas song in England. Like, and maybe she was part of that. I don't know. But I remember the We Are the World. I'm like, I know that. I know them all. You know, Cyndi Lauper. There was Michael Jackson. Bob Dylan was in that group. All of them. So that's who I think of. So, but yeah, that song was famous in arenas all throughout the country for a good while. We're approaching heavy weather season, so it did get me thinking that driving should be enjoyable and should be a good experience, even when it's raining. But you know what's the worst situation? When you're having a good moment in the car listening to this show, for example, or your favorite song or podcast or whatever it may be, and then everything's ruined because the wipers come on and they go, ee-ee-ee. It's embarrassing. It's dangerous. That's when you know you need new wipers. So don't let squeaky wipers ruin your great moments. Hear clearly. Buy Michelin wipers. Michelin is always reminding drivers how important it is to regularly check their wipers for safety on the road. They even made it an official holiday, the International Check Your Wipers Day, coming up on November 16th. So don't forget, check your wipers. It's simple to update your wipers to Michelin. Pick them up at Walmart today. Oh, speaking of which, so over the weekend in the Formula One race in Japan, it was raining, and they love to do this thing where they show you like the camera angle from the cockpit of the car, and they couldn't see 10 feet in front of them, and they're driving 150 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Why in God's name do they do this? They're the best in the world. I get it, but good God, it was frightening watching the video from the cockpit camera of you. They're flying, and they just have to trust that when they see something, they'll just hit their brakes and it'll work. And that the wet or intermediate tires that they're on are just going to make it stop. You know, they'll just stop quickly. It was remarkable. I would have been scared. I would have been out there forever. An hour they were out there. I would have been petrified driving in that stuff. It's nuts. But anyway, squeaky wipers. You know what's funny? I got wipers a few years ago. I got new wipers. And I don't know why this happened. I couldn't figure out how to put them on my car at all. I've changed wipers before, but the car I had, I couldn't figure it out. I was grabbing the manual. I literally like somebody took my man card and ripped it up and shredded it and burned it so I would never get it back. I'm grabbing the owner's manual of the car, something I never get for any reason whatsoever, to find out how to change the wiper blades. Finally, I figured it out. It was figure it out. My wife was like, you should go to the auto parts store. They'll do it for free. But no, I am not
going
to the auto parts store to have them change my wiper blades. I don't care if I'm out here for 3 hours. I am not having the kid at AutoZone change my wiper blades.
I did the same exact thing. Took me forever. I watched a YouTube video. Nailed it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, you know what? I need to start watching YouTube videos more often. I actually did that this past weekend. We have fluorescent lighting in our kitchen, like most kitchens do.
Right.
Our thing has been out for over a year. I finally said, you know what? I'm just going to, because I'm afraid to touch electricity, I just went ahead and changed the ballast on it.
You're the best. That's great.
And
look
now
at you.
Now I can put electrician on my card.
I love going around the house on project day and nailing projects, feeling like I'm a true handyman, which I am not.
I even said to my wife, I said, what do you need done next?
I'm like, get me the tool belt, honey. I'm walking around fixing stuff.
Exactly.
Cabinet doors, loose, got it. All that stuff. Brother-in-law.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, little looking glass for you, Brandy. I think this is one song you can do at a karaoke thing and be okay with it, even if you're not from that area. It's kind of a song that shows up a lot.
Well, it's slow enough, too, that you can follow along. You can get the rhythm.
One-hit wonder, Looking Glass. A couple guys that went to Rutgers University. Never really had a hit after that, but this hit was good enough to give them some money. So
hey, they can do state fairs from forever.
Absolutely. Yeah, you could show up at Epcot Center every now and then and perform. Big story coming out about Daniel Snyder on ESPN.com that sources are saying that Daniel Snyder says he's got dirt on everybody in the NFL.
Everybody
in the NFL. Apparently, the sources said that he said privately, quote, they can't beep with me, and because he knows a lot. And he does. I guarantee you this is true. I bet he's not bluffing. I bet he knows exactly some. This is what people have been saying this whole time. This is why John Gruden feels like he was targeted in that investigation. That when they were doing an investigation into the workplace culture of Washington, that they discovered so much stuff that they went, okay, who can be the sacrificial lamb on this? Because these other emails are never going to see the light of day. So let's give the media John Gruden. We'll serve him up on a platter, but we're keeping all of this other stuff private. And Snyder probably knows this better. He's been in the league 23 years. He's been an owner for 23 years. He definitely knows where the bodies are buried.
Yeah,
in this league.
I love that he says the NFL is a mafia.
Mafia, yeah. It's that all the owners hate each other. Of course they hate each other. But then one guy said the owners hate Dan. Yeah, you know what? That's funny. That's like psychological. If you're in a group of people and they all hate you, you don't feel that they hate you. You feel like they hate everybody. So you don't want to feel like unique that they all hate you. You're like, well, they hate everybody. But it would be very, very difficult if that was true. If every owner hated every other owner, it would be hard to do business. Because you would feel adversarial all the time, constantly. You'd never get anything done. Like every owner's meeting, you'd all get together in Palm Beach or wherever, and you would fight and fight and fight and fight, and nothing would ever get done. And you would yell and scream, and you would feel like if it cost you $100 more, you would fight it to tooth and nail because you wouldn't want the other guy to win out on something. So I don't necessarily think that's true. And plus, there's a lot of old time owners in this league that have been doing business with each other for a long time. And there is a moment as you get older, you tend to get less offended by stuff. And you can carry some grudges, don't get me wrong. But I think also you learn to work with people in your field. So, yeah, it's probably true that everybody hates Dan Snyder, of course. He always seems to put the league on the wrong, on the page of the newspaper for the wrong reason.
Yeah, you look at the last 5 years. And, I mean, it's just been nothing of good has come out of Washington.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, whether it's a stadium that's leaking sewage onto the fans or, you know, just the whole team name debacle and going by Washington football team and not really. I mean, you saw the way the Cleveland Guardians did it.
Yeah.
Like they said, you know, we're going to get rid of our name. And within no time at all, it's like, and we're going to be known as the Cleveland Guardians. There, yep. We're done.
And then Snyder took a little bit longer.
It took like a year and a half, two years.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, also taking a franchise, like I just saw a statistic on here that was number one in attendance, and now they're number 31.
You remember
That's impressive.
This guy was really young when he bought this football. He was 34 years old when he bought this football team. He bought this football team at a time where, you were talking about the Maras, the Rooneys, right? The Hunts. Like you're talking about the Pat Bowlen. He's 34, relatively newly rich, and he's buying a team in the 90s, and he's 34. And what I mean, you're 34, you're young, you've got a huge ego because you just made $1 billion. He wasn't born a billionaire. He earned it with companies that he started and got successful and built it. And now you want to be part of owning a football team. So he owns a football team. You're probably going to rub a lot of people the wrong way with your young enthusiasm power that you have. So he's probably burned a lot of bridges early on that he never could mend even as he got older. But the organization was always in the news for the wrong reason. We talked about this earlier this week. This was once a storied franchise. This was a Super Bowl franchise. This was one of the identifying 1980s NFC teams that ruled football. When they were dominating the Super Bowl and Pat Summerall and John Madden were doing games on CBS, this was one of the teams with the Niners, the Bears, the Giants, the Cowboys. This was one of the teams that you would have on your broadcast because they were that good, right? And he took it, and they have been basically irrelevant since. Every now and then, pop up in the playoffs, but other than that, nothing. But it's hard not to believe this, because looking at this story, there's a lot of people saying, oh, he's wrong, but that's what you would say, right? That's exactly what you would say. It is hard for me to believe that a guy that has been an owner for 23 years, that knows exactly how this business works, exactly what is necessary to get things done. You don't think they've strong-armed people in local governments to build stadiums? You don't think the NFL has done some backhanded deals with government officials on certain things, certain tax rights or whatnot? You don't think that the NFL has ever done anything that they really wish wouldn't get into the public? Of course they have. They're a multi-billion dollar company. It is hard to get to that level and not do things that you don't want people to know about. It is impossible to believe that as one of 31 owners, with the Packers being publicly owned, that he does not know any of this. I brought this up with Robert Sarver with the Phoenix Suns, and they were saying the NBA should force him to sell the team. No, put pressure on him to sell the team. Tell him he's going to make a lot of money if he sells the team, and his life would be better if he sold the team. But don't force him, because if you force him, he's like every other owner. He's like, I know where the bodies are buried. And you better be careful, because I've got nothing to lose. I'm a billionaire. I don't need anybody's approval. I'm not going to be working for anybody anytime soon. I don't need a job. I don't care if I burn this bridge to the ground. You can find me in my bunker somewhere in Colorado if you want to find me. But I will burn this league to the ground with what I know. And Snyder's pulling the same thing, right? Don't mess with me. Don't be talking about forcing me to sell this and taking it away from my family and my kids down the road. And the legacy of owning this team. You're not going to do that. You do that. Watch where I go with this. You don't think I can live on a yacht forever? I'll live on the yacht forever. You won't touch me. You're going to force me. And then if I do sell this team, I'll sell it for $6 billion. And then you absolutely can't touch me. And I'll still tell you where the stuff is buried. Right? I totally believe he can. Anybody that says that's not true, they're lying to themselves.
Yep.
Now, do I think there's a black book of all of these awful things that the NFL has done? Maybe, maybe not. Probably not. Right? It's hard to be a league in this country or a business in this country that has that much attention and that many eyes on it. You know, let me give you an example. What's a big company in the United States? McDonald's, right? Go on Apple Podcasts. How many fast food podcasts are there? Like, how many people going, would you like to know the ins and outs of the fast food industry? Well, we've got the story for you every single week on Burger Time, right? How many NFL podcasts are there? Thousands of them. Everybody's got an NFL podcast. And those are just podcasters, some of them in basements, some of them are reporters, right? Some of them are guys deep in the belly of the system, right? So when you have that many eyes on how you do business, there's going to be some things that are going to be exposed. So I don't think the NFL has a bunch of secrets, but I do think they have secrets. Now, you go into any other industry, the players in those industries might have tons and tons of secrets, because I personally, for example, I don't know how the fast food industry works. I don't know how the computer industry works. I don't know how the retail business works. So to me, if you told me that X and X company in retail, for example, has manipulated school districts so they could build a huge shopping center in a town, and they took the school funds away, I would be blown away by that. But somebody who's on the ground constantly covering the industry might go, oh, that happens all the time. Like when they come to a city, they divert funds for this and this and this so they can give a big break to the big box department store. The National Football League does a lot of business with local governments, right? Zoning, stadiums, all these things. And I'm sure there's been a lot of bribes. I'm sure there's been a lot of political campaigns going against certain candidates because they didn't do what the NFL wanted. I'm sure there were a lot of threats. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of things the NFL does that they are keeping lock and key that Snyder does know about, right? And this is the danger of having these rogue owners. Because when you have an owner We say this a lot, guys, but first, there's a lot of you that still don't understand it. It is really, really hard to get an owner out of a league. It's really hard. We repeat this constantly. You think a guy jaywalks and they're going to just kick a guy out of the league? No. Do you think if a guy has even a toxic workplace environment and the league is going to kick him out and force him to sell? No. There's a lot of things that have to happen. It's not impossible. It's not impossible. And it's happened before. But it's not as... It's not the nuclear option everybody thinks that you just automatically go to, right? It's not. It's not like in case of emergency, break glass, get guy to sell team.
I think the only reason why they were able to get Donald Sterling to sell his team or force it, pretty much take away, is because there was all these other extenuating circumstances.
Right. Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Divorce. Wife was, you know, ex-wife was like, yes, sell the team here. I'll sign my half over. You know, right. Whatever it might have been. There was an easier path to do it. And Donald Sterling, I mean, he was, you know, nobody liked him.
Do you think, I swear, if I owned a team and I could pass it down to my kids and their kids, I'm not kidding, you'd have to come get it to me by force.
Oh, my gosh, dude. I mean, that's just, especially like, an NFL team, they just print money.
You don't tell me, like, oh, you could make $5 billion. At that point in my life, I don't need another $5 billion. You know what I want? I want the one thing not everybody can buy.
Yeah.
I want the one thing my other billionaire friends can't get into. I want that. I don't need more money. I don't need more money. The guy's living on a yacht, for crying out loud, with a full staffed yacht. That's where he's living. He doesn't need more money. But the legacy of passing down this team to his kids, to his kids' kids, the Snyder family being in the NFL, one of the most profitable businesses that we have in the globe. Yeah, you'd have to come and get it by force. And this is his way of saying, I am not selling. So good luck. This is going to be interesting because I'll tell you, I bet if you had a vote, I bet he easily could get him out. But I think the owners are really nervous what he's got.
I would be
fascinating
too.
Fascinating story.
I'm curious. I'm fascinated. I want to know more.
I do too.
Just drop us a little tidbit. Can you, Dan? Just
done.
Danny, just a little tiny morsel, to
little tiny taste,
like a teaser trailer. You don't want to give away the whole movie. You just want to show us just a little bit.
You
to
know
want
what?
Us to come back again.
Kind of like the Riddler in that new Batman movie, where he just was like, "Oh, Congressman, boom!" And then next thing you know, the press is like, "Hey,
wait, what did
you
say?
Really tear down the orphanage? What was that?" Right? And all of a sudden, the attention is now on the people.
Did you just name drop someone?
Yeah.
Like, wait.
Snyder's like, oh, are you a Steeler fan? Boom! Like little things like that. Dan Snyder.
Obviously,
man.
Dan didn't know any San Diego Charger fans.
Right. Oh, we'll see.
Still moved the team.
Still. Dude, that story of that workplace investigation of the Washington Post release, that's going to be 3 years old this summer.
Nothing.
And they've got nothing. They've done nothing about it.
And what was John Gruden? He's been fired for what, like 17 years now? I mean, it feels like, you know, he's been out of this league forever. Gruden. And I mean, Gruden says, there's got to be more than those emails. It's like, are they wanting us to forget about all, what was it, 600,000 emails?
600,000
emails. Or have us believe that all 600,000 were about Gruden?
This is crazy. This is a crazy story.
Come on.
It's crazy. All right, we'll come back. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thank you for joining us as we continue along with the Throwback Thursday. A little Lean on Me. Was this a movie? Lean on Me? Like the name Lean on Me, a movie?
I think so, yeah. I think they
was that the one with Morgan Freeman as the principal, or was that the one where the teacher was teaching the kids calculus?
No, that's not. I think that Lean on Me is the one with Morgan Freeman. Stand and Deliver was the one with the teachers teaching calculus. Jaime Escolar.
Yeah. You got it. Okay. So remember, there was like two movies about kids in schools.
Yeah.
Where that Morgan Freeman played Joe Clark, the principal in Paterson, New Jersey. That's right. Okay. So.
Good movie. Edward James Olmos played Jaime Escolar.
That's right. Very good. Very good. So, Thursday Night Football tonight. Who you got? Bears or Washington? Take your pick.
Right now, I want to go Washington.
Why not? Yeah,
because
why not?
We just spent the last half hour talking about them.
Talking about Daniel Snyder. Yes. Did you know that the Buffalo Bills are a road favorite Sunday against Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City Chiefs?
Wow.
Patrick Mahomes has never been a home underdog in his career.
This game is going to be fantastic. Can they bump this up, show it on Saturday night?
I know.
CBS
you're probably
to carry
getting
it.
The game. The Houston Texans are off this weekend, so you don't get that.
I know. I'll see it.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, how great would it be?
Who cares if the rest of America sees it or not? I just want to see it. I don't care if Joe and Mildred in Iowa can't see it because they get... No, this is going to get 80% coverage, so there's going to be very few games on it.
Is Dan Snyder going to get it on his boat?
Maybe so. He's probably got them all.
Does he watch Red Zone? Or do you think he just goes NFL package?
Probably Red Zone. Yeah. While he's feeding his sharks.
Yep, and getting ready to burn this owner to the ground. It's like, oh.
My piranha fish get hungry.
You know what? I got something on you.
Exactly. All right, hour 4 coming up next. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.